Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportist.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook, and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
Good evening.
Doug Lansdowne.
Good evening. It was a good day. I got to play golf today.
Outstanding. And Keith Farrell.
Cheers, everybody.
On this edition, City scores a goal. March Madness is approaching. NFL free agency takes off. We have our first ever guest. The Cardinal reset appears to be no reset at all. The Blues are 1 point out of the playoffs. 1 point is Keith sweating his prediction of no playoffs. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. We have the drawings for the combo she shed and bar for our backyard, and they are spectacular. You can catch First Coast Steel Buildings and Jason at 912-314-4848 or 1stcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number 1stcoaststeel.com, and we'll hear more from them later in the show. We are coming to you from the Local House Bistro Studios, our studio sponsor. It's March, and you almost involuntarily add madness to the month of March. And Local House Bistro is the place to be for all of the March Madness action. With 7 screens in the bar area, you will never miss a play. I also have the Blues actions, as those games have lately become must-see TV. They have a fantastic menu, steaks, pasta, fish, chicken, as well as bar favorites, burgers, pizza, and lots of apps. You have to try the French dip, one of the best French dip sandwiches in the city. The group will take care of you very well. You'll see Tim, Holly, Jackie, Whitney, and Jacinda at 16524 Manchester. Eat local, drink local, and love local. The Local House Bistro. Time for quick hits. Joe Sperlin.
You know, with our good friend Garrett Cole, made me think of something. 1975, Tommy John, 50 years ago, Tommy John surgery. As of a couple years ago, over 35% of all active major league pitchers have had Tommy John surgery, which is amazing to me. But it made me think of something. What if it hadn't have been Tommy John? Ooh. What if it was as Vita Blue surgery or Bert Hooten surgery or a version of being catfished would have been different if it meant blowing out your elbow. My favorite would have been John Montefusco surgery. Did you hear about him? Oh yeah. He's got Montefusco. So I need to find more things to do, I guess, but I just thought about that. So
I immediately went to Andy Messersmith.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's Tommy John. I mean, it's something that happened.
About 2 years before he passed away, my father was really into going around to these estate sales and things, and he gave me a baseball card of Tommy John, and he said, here, you should just like display this somewhere in your house and find out all the people that say, you mean there really was a guy?
Exactly.
So anyway, Douglas.
Piggyback on that, I was going to talk a little bit about pitching as well. And so, you know, so Cole's 32, and, you know, these guys are 22, 23, 24, 25. And like Joe said, a third of them have had one. If this trend continues, they keep throwing as hard as they are, they keep getting injured there, you know, you've got to wonder, is there going to be a pitcher that pitches into his mid-30s? Are they going to win? You know, we don't expect anybody to get close to 300 wins anymore. Is it going to get to the point where they don't even smell 200? Mm. Is a starting pitcher going to be lucky to win 150? Because I don't see them having more than a 6 to 8 year career right now.
Well, not only that, but you've got the strategic element where, you know, how long is it before they're only going to let them go, you know, one time through the line? I mean, we've already seen the closer experiment, which I think has kind of been a little bit of a failure. You don't see the opener. You don't see the openers that much anymore. But
yeah, you don't see it as frequently as you did. But you know what I was trying to get to there, and I kind of rambled. But like I said, what's it going to be if they continue to get injured like this, continue to pitch less innings? You know, what's going to be the standard to consider somebody had a really good career or Hall of Fame career?
Yeah,
because they're not gonna accumulate a lot of wins.
Keith, ordinarily I go last, but I just, since Gerrit Cole has been mentioned in the first two, I just want to keep the momentum going, and I have to point out that it was last week that I brought up my favorite injured list designation of all time, which was general fatigue, and that was what Gerrit Cole suffered. Last year, he was sidelined for a start with general fatigue, and yesterday it was announced that he would miss this entire season with Tommy John surgery. So my message to all of you listening is avoid general fatigue, especially with daylight saving time, because you don't want to have Tommy John surgery. And just, you know, take that step. Be careful out there. And yeah, and I did note that in some of the reports, it said general body fatigue, which almost makes it sound worse, I think. But at any rate, good listeners, please avoid general fatigue. Keith Farrell.
Well, I'm going to stay on the baseball topic, and I'll keep this short and sweet. But what is March maddening is what has come out of Cardinal camp, which should be something in the neighborhood of, look at Lars Newtbarer hitting 350 this spring, or Mason Wynn, you know, playing great defense and great, you know, great. He's looking great at the plate. No, what we get out of Cardinal camp is Nolan Arenado just expanded his trade list to two more teams. He sees what's going on out there. He wants to get traded. Why is this making a headline? Keep it in-house. Keep this close your mouth until the trade deadline. I just can't believe this guy. I mean, you talk about bad timing. Good Lord.
I think he knows where he doesn't want to be.
Good God. It's just bad.
And I know we'll get into the Cardinals a little bit more later, but there's been a lot of talk about the ripple effects of who's getting pushed out and who's going to lose at bats. And, you know, they were talking about Lucan Baker, who's a guy that ordinarily might have had a chance and might have seen some time and, you know, has a record. He's the all-time Memphis home run leader, which, as they've said, is a record no one wants. Kind of like Crash Davis. With Arenado around, he's going to get even less of a chance. So, at any rate, we move to St. Louis City. Keith Farrell, they scored not one, not two, but three goals on Sunday night against the defending MLS champions.
Take it. Good Lord. You know, the first two games of the season, we had two nil-nil shutouts, two clean sheets. Looked like a team that was really looking to kind of find formation. Just you can tell the chemistry was not quite there. And I think they escaped those first two games with 2 points. And, you know, in that LA game, you saw the defense had a few leaks. And Berkey comes up looking like an octopus in the nets. I mean, his hands, his diving, everywhere. He was so good. He's on his way to being goalkeeper of the year again. And he saw some really nice goals. Everyone knows my criticism of Kyle Hebert, Mr. Right Foot himself. Has a nice little left foot touch pass to set up
brilliant
Simon Betcher's last final go. And
he was setting them up. He was setting them up all season. He has been setting them up.
But I think, you know, what you see on the field right now is you're seeing this team starting to find a little bit of chemistry, what works, what doesn't. I give this team another, you know, 3 or 4 games and they're going to be clicking. Right now they're 16th on the power rankings. And they got a nice test this weekend when they played number 3 power-ranked Seattle. So it'll be a good test.
Seattle's just one of those teams that even when City SC won the division in their first year, Seattle is just a team you never, ever want to play. And the goal scorers, as you mentioned, Keith, for City were Teuchert, Hartl, and Bescher. Are those the new big three? Because there's one name kind of missing from that, what you would call big three.
Yeah. Yeah. Your punching bag, João Klaus, is he hit the post. He had some nice touches. And I just think he needs to play just a little bit less cutesy and a little bit more direct. And I think he'll score some goals. But, I think he's for St. Louis City to, you know, put more wins in the win column. He's going to have to be a bigger offensive threat. And I do kind of like how Melberg is playing these guys because he is making these guys run 60, 70 minutes hard.
Yeah. And I will say to Klaus's credit, and if people ever wonder why soccer is called the beautiful game, that first goal in transition, you know, off of a giveaway in midfield, Klaus kind of pulled the trigger to start that whole thing, that entire sequence. So, you know, good on him, even if he didn't get his name in the box score there.
Yeah. Just be less selfish and more team-oriented. We'll be fine.
And like you said, big test coming up. I think we'll know more at about 10 o'clock this Saturday night. Big test for St. Louis City. So Joe Spurlin, the NFL likes to say that they're a year-round league now. And we kind of saw that yesterday when they just hijacked a random Monday in March with the opening of free agency. Lots of crazy moves. What caught your eye?
Hey, and the NFL, you talk about crazy. They don't mess around on that. You know, I like how these deals are signed, like the minute that it opens. Like, but yeah, they don't mess around. They got about 2 days where everybody's signed. I think it's amazing for these guys that work out their own trades. You know, Myles Garrett not happy in Cleveland, felt like he needed to go somewhere else, but Cleveland says, what if we were to give you this amount of money? And Randy forgot all about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm drawing a blank. Someone else did that too. Oh, well, I guess Matt Stafford, you could say that, oh, he was going to look for his own deal with the Rams. And the Rams found out that maybe he was worth what they thought, or people weren't going to, or were offering him more than what they thought, and he could get it. But he ended up getting the good money. I mean, some of the money they're paying is amazing, but it's kind of like, you know, these 4-year contracts, it's the 2 years and then we'll see. But, you know, it's amazing. Pittsburgh, okay, you don't want Russell Wilson, but you'll take Aaron Rodgers. I'm not for sure how that would work out. But, yeah, you talk about one quarterback signing and then it all happened and everybody else. I think it all started with Geno Smith getting traded.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a domino effect there.
Yeah. All it took was the first one and then it was done. Yeah. Hey, you're not happy where you're at and then they just give you a lot of money. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And the NFL is about the sport that can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Doug, do you think the Chiefs overpaid to keep the University of Missouri Columbia's own Nick Bolton here close to home, or is that a solid move locking up a glue guy?
I think that's a glue guy, solid move. He's the quarterback of the defense. The secondary, they've got one more year of having all those guys in secondary, and they can play. So, you know, they got Bolton. You know, I got to think they're going to draft offensive and defensive linemen through the first three or four rounds. I mean, somebody's going to be sitting there telling Andy Reid, we're not going to take the fastest guy in the draft.
Yeah.
We got to find somebody that's going to block.
Justin Reid signed to deal with the Saints. So
yeah.
He's gone.
So yeah. Is maybe they reach a certain age because if, you know, like he's coming into the Al Davis phase of his life where he has to go get the fastest wide receiver.
Well, and I go back to what Joe said too. With everybody switching places and everything that's going on, I still can't believe that Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback. I can't believe Mike Tomlin can't get him a quarterback.
Keith, how would you like to be the team psychiatrist for the Pittsburgh Steelers going from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers? Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, I would love it. The stuff that Aaron Rodgers and that psychiatrist would smoke in that back room. By God. I don't know. That would be a lot of fun. I tell you that. That would be the flies on the wall would be just falling down. But that would be the most fun. And all you gotta do is nod and agree, you know, and you're gonna get paid $1 million because you just helped Aaron Rodgers out.
Yeah, and it seems like the Redskins improved themselves fairly dramatically in the last week.
Yes, I agree with that too.
Commanders.
Thank you. That's twice I've done that now. Waiting for my FCC letter again. Well, training camp for the National Football League doesn't begin for a while, but as we said, March Madness is upon us. And Doug, we were kind of half joking about how the Norm Stewart teams used to collapse this time of year. And ever since beating Alabama a few weeks ago, Coach Gates' team has not been able to keep teams from scoring 90 points.
Nope. That's all it comes down to. I mean, you know, there's people scout and film and they know who can guard who and who can't guard who. And they just, until they play better defense, you know, they may be, Joe said it best, they may be one and done, or they get the right matchups, they might roll to the Elite Eight. But, you know, they still, I thought about that yesterday. You know, last year at this time, would you have said, hey, would you take Missouri winning 20-some games? You know, and so, and he's proven he can go out and find some players. And so we all know it's a new team every year. He'll have to re-recruit and NIL and all that stuff. But, yeah, they just got to start playing defense. They just, you know, got to get stops.
And I'll just throw this out for the group because this was one, Keith, I think you and I may have come up with this at the local house on Saturday night. Going back to the game that our friend Mike Meyer called Rugby on Hardwood when A&M and Mizzou had that knockdown dragout on a Saturday afternoon, did people watch film and say, hey, the way to handle Mizzou is to push them around a little bit? And since then, they haven't been the same.
You know, it's kind of, it's interesting because casual fans can see it, you know, sitting on their couch in the living room. And it doesn't take a scouting report, a special scouting report to figure out this Mizzou team. You know, there's way too many, they give up way too many easy buckets, you know, and that's frustrating to watch because you'll see Mizzou take a stand and then they'll, you have a good defensive stand, then they'll run the ball down, turn the ball over, and then there's a layup at the other end of the court. It happens so often, and it's frustrating. But, Doug, I think you're right. You know, this team, it's about matchups, and if they're bigger and more athletic, they're going to win. If they're matched up evenly, gosh, I can just see them just tanking in the first round. So that's the beauty of March Madness, though.
And Keith, staying a few weeks ago, we were talking about if Illinois could even make the tournament, and now most people have Illinois in, you know, barring just a absolute meltdown in the Big 18 tournament, as I believe you've been calling them.
Yes.
So they are trending up and Mizzou is trending down. Funny what a couple of weeks can do this time of year.
Yeah, they had Illinois had three. They're into the regular season with a three-game winning streak, two against ranked teams. You know, that's the momentum you want to have, especially in bracketology's eyes. So where are they going to go? They're going to be a top, what are they, 7 seed, 8 seed, somewhere around there. Like Mizzou, you can see this team riding a wave to the Elite Eight. And like Mizzou, you can see this team, you know, getting bounced in the first round by a mid-level conference team. So I'm not putting a dime on either of those teams. So that's where I'm at with it.
You would almost put a dime on one of them getting knocked out in the first round, though.
Yeah. And that's just a matchup thing. Like, I keep going to what Doug said, but you get a couple athletic big guys, you know, and that's going to go up against Mizzou. You get a pesky shooter off of a, I don't know, like a, an, I can't even, a mid-level SEC team. They're going to hand it to Illinois. So it's, and there again, if they just hit a 2 or 3 game shooting streak, they're going to beat anyone in the country. So, and that's fun. That's fun to see. And how cool is it that we're talking about Illinois and Mizzou back in the tournament? So that would be fun to see them match up again.
You don't want to play the Drake Bulldogs, though. No, I don't know how you're 30-3 in the Valley and you're not ranked. I mean, years past, I mean, you're 15, 12, 15, I don't know. But, you know, the ESPN guys, the game day guys were giving it what we had talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, kind of. They didn't call it this, but we kind of called it the Ohio State rule of basketball. They said, you know, you can play 3 or 4 really tough games in a row and only have a couple of days off, and then you got to travel to who knows where to play the first round of the NCAA tournament. So if your team loses early, maybe on Thursday or Friday, don't panic. It may be a deal of, I'm actually doing some good, get some rest and some practice this time of year.
With brackets like we have never seen before, like Doug, you were the one that pointed out some champions, some ones and twos, and heck, in some conferences, even 1 through 4s are starting in either the quarter or semifinals.
Yeah, and Delaware is the 12 seed in the CAA, and they're trying to win tonight. They're playing the number 2 seed, UNCW. And that would be the highest seeded team that's ever come out of a conference tournament to make the NCAA.
Those are some of the teams that'll take out a few of. I guess they would. Where do we think they would come from? Would they come from the big 18 and the SEC?
Yeah, they're probably. They're going to get like half the tournament.
That's true. Yeah, as it stands right now. So with our review complete, and we could actually do an entire show. Who knows? Maybe we will next week on March Madness because, gentlemen, we will have brackets on Sunday evening.
Hey, you know one team that's going to be in on that bracket that we have not talked about?
I know where you're going.
Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. are the conference champions and making their first ever run. How cool is that? I'm super excited. I had a buddy that was watching the game very closely. They had a watch party, and he said everyone was going crazy. So it's really cool to see. And no one, I don't think I mentioned SIU Edwardsville since I went to a party there 25 years ago. And how cool is that to see? So really cool stuff.
Now, was that the coach that had the pair of scissors when he got hired and had it in his office? He said, this is what's going to cut down the net. I mean, that was the team, wasn't it?
Yes, and they brought that exact pair of scissors out and used those to cut the nets down. So good stuff. Really good stuff.
Yes.
So we are going to take a break and hear from the good folks at First Coast Steel Buildings when we return. We're going to take a look at the very, very goofy situation in Oakland as well. I shouldn't say Oakland anymore. I guess it's Sacramento. as well as spring training, and we're going to see what kind of bullets Keith is sweating regarding his prediction with the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs. We'll be right back.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process, designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848 or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number one, S-T, coaststeel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements, integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings, 912-314-4848. Or firstcoaststeel.com. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook, joined by Joe Sperlin, Doug Lansdowne, and Keith Farrell. And today, I had a chance to catch up with our good friend, Khaled Abdallah, who hosts the fantastic 4040 Vision podcast. And Khaled is a longtime fan of the Oakland A's, Oakland Raiders, and all things Oakland. And we talked a little bit about what is going on with the A's. And here is a little bit of our conversation.
This ballpark that the A's are playing in, so I've only been to a Sacramento River Cats game. So the River Cats used to be the A's, the A's AAA affiliate for a long time. Now they're the Giants AAA affiliate. So it's kind of interesting that they're still sharing a ballpark, even though they're not part of the same organization. But it's a very typical small town minor league ballpark. It's I think the official capacity is 10,000 or was 10,000, and there was only seats along the first and third base lines. The rest of the stadium is all, it's a lawn. So when I went, I took my kids and my nephews. We were 8 or 9 of us. So I bought lawn seats for $10 a pop. And the stadium, it's nice. It's a nice minor league ballpark. It sits on the Sacramento River. It's got a nice view of the small Sacramento downtown. But it feels minor league. You don't walk in there and get greeted by the majesty of some ballparks like, you know, Busch Stadium or Yankee Stadium or Fenway. It's nice. It's cozy, but it's kind of insulting to be a major league player, I would think, to play in a place like that.
Now, you used one word there that you actually worked beautifully into my next question, which is when you said cozy. Are we looking at kind of your typical 330 down the line, typical power alleys? Is it small? Is it big? Or how will it play in terms of pitcher's park, hitter's park?
It's definitely a hitter's park. There's a lot of people that are joking about Aaron Judge coming to town and hitting a ball into the Sacramento River, which is just, you know, on the outside of the ballpark. It's really small. This is all I can say. And again, it's cozy. It's nice for a minor league day out where you're spending, you know, $10 a pop on a ticket and the concessions are cheap and everything, but it feels small town and small time, which is what it is, which is that's what it was designed for. So my understanding is they've added major league level clubhouses for the teams. So I think they've done some construction work. I don't know what the outfield looks like, but I assume it's not lawn seating anymore. I haven't actually looked at the tickets. I get emails all the time trying to sell me season tickets because I've bought, you know, tickets for the A's before. Mm-hmm. So I actually do want to look at the seating chart to get an idea of what it looks like, but I'm pretty sure it's still a lawn out there.
Yeah. So, and you know, I'm sure they're basically anyone on their email list, text list, anything. So what is the feeling in Oakland toward the A's right now of like the longtime fans or people that have followed them previously?
So I'll give you an idea of what the sentiment is on social media. I'm not sure on Instagram. I think I unfollowed them on Instagram, but on Twitter, they've actually turned off replies to their tweets. So you can imagine, you know, usually people only do that when it's a politician, you know, talking about a cheating scandal or something like that, where you just don't want people to talk to you. So it's been, I think, a year now or 2 years now since they've turned off the comments. They still have not turned the comments back on or the replies back on, even though they're gearing up for this new season, you know, coming up pretty soon. I think opening day is just around the corner here in Sacramento. But the mood in Oakland is anger, frustration, disappointment, especially because this feels like the A's were the last like vestige of pro sports identity in Oakland.
All right. So gentlemen, very interesting situation going on out there for the A's. Doug, what are your thoughts on that? That's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting. It's hard to believe they're going to try to pull that off in Sacramento. So, I mean, the novelty wears off after a while, I would think. But I mean, if you're Sacramento and you have a chance, you live in Sacramento, you have a chance to go watch the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox. You know, I mean, they're going to draw, but are they going to come and watch? You know, are they going to come and watch Tampa Bay?
Yeah, and that's like one of our friends with the Blues said, it's anyone can sell out the Blackhawks on a Saturday night, but what do you do for Ottawa on a Tuesday? Joe, when he mentioned that the stadium would be a hitter's paradise, you know, and talked about Judge hitting one in the river, you know that all of the Oakland pitchers are can't be very excited about what's going to happen to their stats in ERA. I called them Oakland, all of the A's pitchers.
Yeah. No, and that, it's not a good situation. I mean, even there's not very many people in Las Vegas even believe that stadium is going to get built. I mean, no one really thinks it's happening. They had updated pictures, and it's like, here's pictures of a stadium that's probably never going to happen, or it'll be delayed, and they continue to stay in Sacramento. I mean, it's not going to be good.
And Keith, when he mentioned kind of the feeling of the people in Oakland toward the A's, to me, it really kind of harkened back to, I think, what a lot of people felt about the Rams when they left St. Louis. And, you know, I had people say, wow, the Rams won the Super Bowl. You have to be happy for them. And I'm like, no.
It's like watching mom and dad go through a divorce. It just, you know, you got the ownership who just doesn't get along with the city and the fans or the kids watching this back and forth. They hear the fighting and then they see each other split. Well, you can't be, you know, surprised. You're certainly disappointed, and the kids are always the ones that are affected by it. And, you know, I feel genuinely terrible because it's such a storied franchise, and to have ownership, I mean, certainly, you know, Manfred or someone along the line could have recognized this years and years and years ago, since Moneyball even, and say, listen, you're not good. You need help. You need to take on you need to find another majority owner or you know, keep a stake, but sell the team to someone who's got some money. Those buyers are out there. And it's just sad to see. It's really sad.
It really is. It really is. And here locally, we have the St. Louis Cardinals. It does seem like there are dog days of spring training, doesn't it, Doug? I mean, it's like it kind of drags on to a point where you're like, okay, can we just play some games that count?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just get the ball rolling and, you know, see what's going to happen. And it's not going to be good on several fronts, I don't think. I was holding out hope, you know, right before spring training started. I thought, you know, maybe they are going to be okay. And I was holding out hope, and then I know spring training, but some of these box scores have been horrid.
Keith, before I ask this question, I want to make sure your blood pressure medicine is within reach. Katie Wu of the Athletic reported that competition for the last spot in the rotation will come down to McGreevy and Pallante. That's right. Pallante, who was the most effective starter for good stretches of the year, has not secured a starting spot. Your thoughts, Mr. Farrell?
I was able to watch a little bit of the game on Sunday, and I think Pallante might have some general neck fatigue from watching the ball fly over his shoulder. So, I can definitely see McGreevy taking that spot. McGreevy definitely earned the spot from his He definitely earned a spot in the starting rotation, especially if we're going to go through a rebuild. And I'm going to talk about a little bit further as we wrap things up today about some of the pessimism going around nationally about the Cardinals and locally about the Cardinals, but it's not good. And if you're going to commit to a rebuild, just commit to it. That's all. That's it.
Does anyone know if Wainwright's still pitching? Why he's playing music? I mean, is he pitching every other day? Is he available?
I'll take him. He'll put butts in the stand. He'll put butts in the stands for sure.
But speaking of Cardinals of that era, Yadier Molina wants to manage badly, and so does his former teammate Albert Pujols. In fact, both of them have indicated that they wouldn't mind managing your St. Louis Cardinals at some point, and Yadi went as far as to say, hey, I'd even manage the Cubs. Which, if either of those, will manage the Cardinals, and when?
That is such a great question. I question Yadi's commitment to a year-round process based on his basketball team ownership down in Puerto Rico or wherever he's at. And Pujols, I love his leadership, but Yadi's a better game manager, right? We've seen it for years. Pitching staff have never pitched better. So that's my vote. Just thinking out loud, Yadi gets my vote. If he wants to build coach basketball, hopefully he can coach in November.
It will be interesting to see for sure. Joe, you've got Yankees all over the disabled list. It's like there's just a little bit of chaos all over Major League Baseball here at the start.
I heard tonight on SportsCenter about, are the Yankees in trouble with their pitching? No one feels for them. So,
no. And the Mets, too. They were saying that the Mets and the Yankees could have almost like a team. They could field a disabled list team.
Yeah. I don't understand with the way conditioning and strength coaches, and they have these guys year-round. I mean, I think spring training originally was for guys who were working part-time jobs to come down and get in shape in the 60s and 70s. Now it's like, my God, they're in shape year round. They have nutritionists, a trainer, all this stuff, and then they get hurt. I don't understand.
The line is best shape of his career.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he pulls a hammy like in week two.
Yeah. Oblique.
Yeah.
Joe, I still remember the picture of Stan Musial working in the hardware store the year after he won an MVP award. So, yes, to your point.
They make so much money that, when I wake up and my neck is sore I have a new pillow and I'm like, I don't think I can go today. My neck is sore. I mean, because this could be a career ending. And, this is my lifestyle of this. And I have to protect my family for my millions and millions of dollars, and this could be a career ender. I don't understand it, but
I would have to do some research, but I'm pretty sure that someone missed a game because of a stiff neck because they slept wrong.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure of that.
I always laugh about supposedly the story about I think it was John Smoltz supposedly ironing the shirt that he actually
that he was wearing.
Yeah, and he said, "Oh, that's not true." If it was true, would you repeat it? I mean, yeah, that was true. I had to miss the start because I hurt myself.
That's like the one warning that's on an iron, remove clothing before ironing.
Yeah.
At any rate.
So who gets the first phone call? So you put a little iron tattoo on your chest. Does your trainer get the first phone call, your wife, or the 911? Who gets the first phone call?
That's a great question.
The clubhouse guy that says, you did what? And then it's like, you got to tell what happened. Don't tell anybody, but yeah, I'm not coming today. I'm not playing.
I almost kind of believe that every team has one person, you know, that they give a card, and it's like, if you ever get in any kind of trouble whatsoever, call Jimmy, and Jimmy, you know, puts everything in motion.
The wolf in Pulp Fiction.
Exactly.
The wolf.
So Keith Farrell, your St. Louis Blues, as we record this, are 1 point out of the playoffs. 1 point. Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering what Money Puck says, 31.7% chance to make the playoffs, up from 7% just a few weeks ago. That's 1 in 3, Keith. Those aren't bad odds.
Okay, so let's kind of recap the last 4 or 5 days, right? So the trade deadline, everyone was anticipating some movement, and there was nothing. We had the trade chips and Bennington and Shen. Well, I'm glad that they haven't gone anywhere, because this team would be absolutely lost leadership-wise without those guys. My question is this. Did Armstrong overvalue his players? Or did other teams not want mediocre players getting mediocre results from a less than a mediocre team? What was it? But moving forward, Parayko's out for the regular season. I really do think that this team, it's going to be the deciding is going to be hanging in the balance on that defense. It's time for Matt Kessel and Tyler Tucker to, you know, really step it up and play meaningful minutes and see how they do. The one good thing that they have going for them, their next 9 games, 8 of the 9 teams are presently out of a playoff spot. So I think I've said do or die about 3 or 4 times during this podcast over the last couple months.
I take the over. Over.
Yeah, this is it. this is it. So, you know, you got to beat the teams that are behind you in order to move up, and they're capable. We've seen it, and you can hopefully the wave from the Four Nations tournament continues, but boy, it's going to be hard without your number one defenseman back there. Or are they going to make the playoffs? I think Joe, what do you think?
There's a 30% chance, 70% won't. I like the 8 out of 9 teams. That's a pretty good schedule right there.
It's favorable. And the one that's ahead of them, that's in the playoff spots in a wild card condition right now. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna switch it up. I think they're gonna hit that last spot in the playoffs.
And be rewarded with a Winnipeg.
Yeah. With a first round exit. But Stillman deserves he deserves it, man. Boy, that he's put everything into this team.
Doug, I'm going to take us, before we do our last call, brought to you by the Local House Bistro, I'm going to take us off subject, because I know you will probably know this off the top of your head. St. Mary's and Gonzaga just tipped off. Mark Few has been at Gonzaga for how many years?
25.
Oh, my goodness. We had Boeheim there forever at Syracuse. Is Few the longest Division I at this time, or is there someone else ahead of him? Didn't mean to turn this into a pop quiz, but that seems like an awfully long time.
Tom Izzo's been at Michigan State.
Yes, you are correct. You are correct. So with that little bit of information, let's go ahead and go to the last call, brought to you by the Local House Bistro. Joe Sperlin.
Hey, if you got basketball, you're all day now. I mean, for the rest of this week, you're like at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. If you can sneak in the computer screen at work, you're watching basketball all day and all night. I mean, there's pretty much over 12 hours straight of basketball probably going to be here for the next 3 or 4 days.
And then you take, what, a brief break on – when does the NIT start? So you take a brief break on, like, Monday.
Wednesday, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So you've got like a 1 day break to gather your thoughts, fill out your brackets and do all of that.
That's
and
right.
Then all of a sudden you're right back into it.
That's right.
Yep. Doug?
I don't know if you saw it or not, but Tiger tore his Achilles. You know, back a few weeks ago when I said, did you watch TGL? Did you watch Tiger the first night? And, you know, I said, I can't hardly get around anymore, but I get around better than him. And we talked about how aging gracefully at, you know, the sports heads, sports figures, we don't like to watch them deteriorate. Jesus Christ, just retire. Just hang it up. He's got to stop.
Way to go.
Well, there's another guy, not only top of the of golf scene for 45 years, working out year round for 30 years, 35, 40 years. I mean, it takes a toll. I wouldn't know that, but I'm assuming that would. And I think you're right, Doug. I mean, he's done. I mean, He's a car with a lot of mileage on it.
He's just done. I just wish he would retire.
And don't forget his brief stint with the Navy SEALs. And folks, if you think I'm kidding, I'm not.
Nope. He did.
And you hope that he saved enough money that he'll be able to support everything here and there. He may have to go building golf courses full time.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see him sitting next to Jim Nantz or someone on the, but at any rate, Keith Farrell.
So whenever I get home from work, me and my wife sit down for a nice quick meal and we discuss each other's day. And today I'm like, how was your day, honey? And she opened up with, and I wrote it down. She says, this year's Cardinals will be the last year's Chicago White Sox. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Oh,
yeah, right. So that's what she had on her mind today after they got thumped, 11-0. So I was reading an article on the Athletic, and they have a optimism scale, and the Cardinals ranked 27th with 11.9% optimism from their fans. They're ranked 27th, and they're ahead of the Los Angeles Angels, the Colorado Rockies, and your Chicago White Sox. And one of the lines in here, which is absolutely brilliant, they said they can't even tank properly. The front office promised a rebuild, then didn't do a deal almost for any of their aging talent.
Huh.
My God. So, yeah, that's my done for the night moment right there.
As I heard someone, you know, point out, we were promised a reset, refresh, pick your R word, recession. And realistically, Goldschmidt is gone. Gibson is gone. Lance Lynn and Kitteridge. Okay. Otherwise, yes. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's the same team coming back. So I don't know if that I mean, that's normal attrition. Heck, there's regular years where you lose more people than that.
Right.
So my last call comes courtesy of one David K. Reinhart, who Joe and Doug and I have known since the Carter administration. And he's a loyal listener. We would like to thank Dave for listening to the podcast. And he sent me this. A record was broken 1 week ago today as we record this. And it was a 42-year-old record in NCAA baseball. So George Mason beat Holy Cross 26-6 in a baseball game. And you say, okay, that was a thumping big deal. However, they scored 23 of their 26 runs in one inning. And they had 11 hits, which were 5 doubles, 8 batters walked, 5 batters hit by pitch, and 3 errors. At one point, 19 straight George Mason batters reached base. Holy Cross used 5 pitchers in the inning, taking 3 relievers. Are you ready for this? 87 pitches to record 1 combined out. With 2 of its pitchers surrendering a combined 10 runs without getting an out.
Whoa.
So that's a time that my my late mother would have looked at me from her chair and said, "This is like Little League." I think that's worse than Little League because of the 10-run rule.
Mercy rule.
So when you think you're having a bad day, just keep that in mind.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes. Appreciate you, Mr. Reinhardt, and what you do. So we would like to ask you to like, rate, and follow the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. We are on X, Facebook, and Blue Sky, and our website is stlsportists.com. As always, thank you for listening, Joe Sperlin.
Yes, enjoyed it, as always.
And Doug.
Have a good week.
Keith Farrell.
Talk to you next week.
And we will talk to you next week on the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.